You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Tonight on the Cooligans Big Show, we talk about the coaching carousel in Europe. Xavi at Barcelona, Conte at Tottenham. Alexis is excited about it. We also talk about MLS and playoff predictions, decision day. So many matches to discuss. Also, we have a very huge unboxing.
That's right. The unboxing's back. But also, we've got Lynn Williams and Sam Mewis of North Carolina Courage. Obviously, the women's national team, but also they've started a podcast called Snacks. Oh, now you in our lane? You trying to win trophies in our game? Chill, you too good. We talked to them about everything about their footballing career, and also two look-alike dogs meet on this show, and somebody cries. That and more today on the Cooligans.
Hi, this is Ashlyn Harris
and Allie Krieger. And you are listening to our best friends and favorite comedians,
the Cooligans, bitch.
Yeah, baby!
Yes.
Come on.
Let's go. You seen the...
I wonder what my neighbor thinks I'm doing every time we do this show. What is happening down there?
The baby Keem. You seen the video for
yes.
Family Ties? Oh, what a video.
You a fan?
I'm a huge fan, baby Keem.
To everyone who doesn't know what that is, you just look like you were using like a rowing machine at the gym of some sort or an elliptical. You feel me?
That's the new dance, okay?
Yeah. Come on, get up there. Do the elliptical,
everybody.
Baby.
Welcome to the Cooligans. My name is Christian Polanco.
I'm Alexis Guerreros.
We are your favorite stand-up comedians that host the funniest soccer show right here on Football Sports Network.
That's right. It also happens to be the gulliest, but you know. I'm assuming you all know that. I think you even said it along with me.
That's right. Okay. Because we're gully in Paris and we're gully in France. You know how we do.
That's right. Call the label. I need my advance.
We're excited about today's show. Not only because it is jam-packed with the most fun soccer content you have ever seen, but also we have incredible guests. We have a duo, U.S. Women's National Team duo, and North Carolina Courage duo, Sam Mewis and Lynn Williams of the Snacks Podcast.
Wow, they done started a podcast. Why are you coming in our lane? We're so scared.
Yeah, are we, you know, you wouldn't like it if we just went in gold and played in the NWSL final and won a championship.
What if we just showed up to the Olympics? Like, what's good? This is our now.
Yeah, so we have a nice little competitive banter with the U.S. Women's National Team superstars. They'll be on a little bit later, but we have to start today's show talking about some of the stuff that's going on in Europe. Okay,
the coaching carousel has been put on hyperdrive. You remember that? It was like every once in a while in like a one of our childhood movies or shows, they would have the carousel going crazy and the child has to be saved. That's the level of speed we've hit now.
It's going so fast. People are flying off the horses. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Horses are going up and down, you know, people holding on for dear life. And one of those people holding on for dear life or who flew off, but landed quite comfortably is Xavi, baby.
Right. So this is exciting, right? We're seeing that he is finalizing terms with Barcelona to become the next manager. Obviously, Ronald Koeman was relieved of his duties. And so it didn't work out as most people.
Which is good for him because now the fans can stop defecating on his car hood. Yeah, I mean, did you see they were just destroying this man's car, booing him as he drove off?
Right,
that
right.
time is done. Go relax, Ronald Koeman. Yeah, I suggest you go to LA where no one knows who you are and you can just spend your money hanging out on the beach.
Right, because it people were like, hey, this seems a little bit too big to be a bird poop. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Also, I don't think birds eat this much corn, dude. Someone needs to switch their diet.
The pigeons, I can't digest it either.
Yeah. So. That's like the time that somebody took a poop on my buddy's car. And he thought at first, because my wife had an argument with his wife, and he's like, you don't think it was? And I was like, no, it wasn't my wife. And look, then he sends us the photo.
This is definitely something I would you know, coax my wife to do to get back at my enemies. But, 100%. Trust me.
Yeah. No, he'll know it's me. But then we sent us the photo, and my wife, being the nurse, looks at it and goes, well, whoever this is having some liver problems. And he's like, don't you worry about the liver problems of the guy who pooped on my car. We don't care about this gentleman right now.
Anyway, yes. So Chavi looks like he is going to be the next manager.
Way to steer us back into the right direction.
For Barcelona.
How do you think this is going to be? I think this is a massive win for them. Legend, already coaching really well. Has their team in first place in the Qatari League, has them playing tiki-taka. That's beautiful from the clips and highlights I've seen. I mean, this is a win-win if you're Barca.
Look, this is what Xavi has wanted for a long time. Yes, the highlights look great in Qatar, but look, it is Qatar. Just the way we criticize when somebody is successful in France, we call it a farmers league and whatever. Mm-hmm. I'm not taking the highlights I see in Qatar.
Okay.
Really, to be the
can
most
I counterpoint
valuable.
What you're saying? Yes, you're right. Right, we don't know the level of that league, but also we would suspect it's not the highest level, right? And
yes.
To get them playing the way they look, the way the one-touch passing, the beautiful mm-hmm. tiki-taka, the fact that he can coach them to that level, imagine he were to be able to do that with FC Cincinnati, as an example. Man, this is Cincinnati's oh, getting man, burned no, on this episode.
They need him badly. Johnny right? to FC Cincinnati is a transformative move for that club.
$300 million a year. Get that done. But the point I'm trying to make is imagine he did that with like, Halifax Wanderers of the Canadian Premier League. If he's able to take a league where you probably don't think the quality is that high, and then all of a sudden he's got them playing just like the early aughts the early, 20 teens Barcelona teams, you're probably sitting there thinking, this is amazing. This is the guy that could probably do that with a higher budget. Which is what you have at Barca.
It's exciting. There's optimism. And I think people and the fans and the players will probably get along with Xavi more than they did with Ronald Koeman. Ronald Koeman, in his last few, whether he was coaching Netherlands, whether he was at Everton, there's an issue there with communication with players that has followed him along in those last few jobs. And I think that, the chemistry with players will be the biggest difference. So that's what I'm hoping for, because Barcelona desperately needs that. The other thing, the other manager we need to talk about, the new manager for Tottenham, Antonio Conte. They let go of Nuno after only 10 matches for Hotspurs, and now they bring in Antonio Conte. What are we thinking? Is it going to be much
of a difference?
Do you think
his family
turn it around for them?
Of course not. Do you think his family was as disappointed in him to find out he's the Tottenham manager as my mother was to find out I was a stand-up comedian? Do you think it's even?
I'm sure it is. I'm sure his family's like, when are you going to get a real job, Antonio? Yeah.
Were they not looking at FC Cincinnati?
It's a blue-collar industry, a blue-collar city. You should really think about it.
The league's on the up and up. I mean, why shoot yourself in the foot with this Tottenham? You know,
right? So, well, I mean, as far as these big moves, I mean, look, the job at Barca for Xavi and the job at Tottenham, look, the expectations are obviously very, very different. But there are two teams that are kind of in disarray right now. Who has some better success? You think Xavi sorts it out for Barcelona faster?
How is this even a question?
Tottenham?
How is this even a question? I don't think Antonio Conte is going to have Ronald Koeman level success at Tottenham. It's Tottenham. Tottenham's always going to Tottenham, and that's the thing that you just have to sit back and just believe.
I love the detailed analysis from Arsenal fan Alexis.
Look, here's the truth.
There's nothing we can do. They're a hopeless bunch. You know?
I mean, apparently there's a curse on them. I don't know how they would. They build on a graveyard. I don't know what happened. But here's the truth. I honestly think if he has players, right? He's got incredible players. He's got Dele Alli, who, if he's the Dele Alli of old, if he can find that. The person to do it is probably, Antonio Conte. He's got Heung-min Son. He's got Harry Kane for now, right? He's got guys that are pretty good, like Lucas Moura and Højbjerg. He's got a stable of players that if he can mold to the way he likes, he'll be able to sort of, you know, at least propel them forward. I don't know how far. I mean, he is Antonio Conte, but I can't imagine they become a top four side overnight. Next season is going to be the real thing. Are they actually going to give him, you know, the transfer policy that they guaranteed him? It's Daniel Levy. Antonio Conte, if I were you, I really hope this wasn't a gentleman's agreement, because we've seen how that happens at Tottenham.
It seems like this move was made, especially this early in the season, for Harry Kane. It seems like, do you think Harry Kane stays? Because it feels like this is why this was done, because they want to keep Harry Kane there, happy, and finally some success again.
I think if you're Harry Kane, you now have another reason to potentially stay. But you also have like 4 years left of your contract. There's nothing you can really do. If they don't want to sell you, there's nothing you can do. So at least there's a manager now that has a proven track record of winning. I just think as long as you have that badge over your heart, you're not going to win a trophy. And that's not even me being, you know, an Arsenal fan, a Tottenham hater. I just think Tottenham will somehow find a way to, it's their front office. It's their staff. They've got a heavy amount of debt with the stadium. You know, I don't think they're going to be able to go out and buy the players that they're saying they're going to be able to. I don't think if they do, they're going to find that the players are of the same quality. I think they're going to continue to buy the players that they've usually bought. I don't know. I don't have a lot of confidence. And if I'm Harry Kane, dude, jump now. Who cares about the rebuild? He's 29 years old. You really want to win a trophy when you're 33 and not starting?
Right. It's tough to, you know, to remove some of the bias coming from Arsenal supporters, only because even when we went to the Emirates, Arsenal played against Wimbledon, and after the game, I must have heard this song maybe 4,000 times. We hate Tottenham, we hate Tottenham. Just literally over and over. We hate Tottenham. And over and over again.
Just constantly. They do that at weddings. They do that at bar mitzvahs. I mean, if you're an Arsenal
literally
fan.
At the christening, you know?
Bro, if I'm at the bodega and I hear it a couple aisles away, stand up. If you hate Tottenham, stand up. I got my arms up. You know what I mean? I'm out. You know what I mean? I'm with you. I'm chanting with you, my G.
Oh, my God.
All right, Christian, let's talk a little MLS, because decision day is coming up. This is going to be a big one. Playoffs are coming up. And it seems like the seeding is kind of getting set, except if you are in anywhere from 5th to 11th in any of the Eastern or Western, you are scared right now. You know what I mean? Anything can happen.
It's an exciting time. I mean, every single year, you know, the MLS season can feel like, you know, it's without promotion relegation, it can feel like the middle of the season feels like a little sort of less exciting. But then just the end of the season, it is a panic to get into these playoffs. Everybody, the games.
Pandemonium. And it turns on like it does. No one's ever sure, but it's generally like four matches before the end of the season. All of a sudden, you're like, wait, I could go from first to eighth? How? I've been winning this whole time.
All right. Yeah, I gotta get this project in. It's crunch time. Yeah.
You just sweating. Does anyone know anything about this Mesozoic era? I don't even know if that's a real thing.
So, you know, even the game recently, the Vancouver against LAFC, like the feeling in these matches is like, man, we need a goal here. We got to find something. Everybody's getting upset about every second being wasted. And so that's when it gets super, super exciting. But we should, and a reminder, right now we're recording this before the Wednesday matches. So obviously those will make a big difference in what decision day looks like.
Right. Montreal might be in or out by the time you're hearing this. I think they actually sneak into the playoffs, but you could be laughing at me right now.
So we should take a quick look at the standings in the Eastern Conference. Obviously, Supporters Shield winners, the New England Revolution, got it on lock, and they're pretty much the only team that are like just the decision day is like, you know what? I'm not making decisions on decision day.
We actually got to give them a little bit of credit, by the way. They've had the most successful season of all time.
Right.
The most points ever. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's New England we're talking about. The Revolution, the only team to still have their original badge.
Right, but for who knows how long, right? But this weekend, obviously, New York City against the Philadelphia Union is a big, big match, not only because, they both clinch playoff spots, but they can both possibly host playoff matches. And
if Philly loses, they're guaranteed home field, right? Because they can't slide below fourth. But if New York City...
No, not necessarily. Mathematically, they can still... If Orlando wins their remaining matches, it's still a possibility.
That's right. Orlando has two. You're right.
Yeah.
Orlando has two. So I was just going to say, they should just let New York win, because then we both get home field, you know? How nice is that?
Yeah, look at that. No, this is going to be an exciting game. But look, Nashville has a huge game against Red Bull. Red Bull has already played against Atlanta United, which is also a big game. So we don't know the result of that one. But we should talk about, DC, Columbus, Montreal. Like, out of those three that are currently not in playoff position, who do you think makes it in? Is it or do none of them make it in?
Well, I think, look, DC is having an incredible turnaround. I know you're saying they're not making the playoffs, but based on the way they played last season to the way they're playing now.
But they also did just lose 6-0 to NYCFC. They did get a win after that. But they,
better teams have fallen at NYCFC. But yeah, but look, I've always said this, like when you lose a 5-0 or a 6-0 or a 7-0, that really had nothing to do with how your team is, the quality of your team. That has to do with like, something went terribly wrong that day, or they figured something out. Like if you lose 3-2, I think that's a bigger failure than losing 5-0. Fans won't agree with me, or 6-0. But I see Columbus, former champion, Montreal playing extremely well. To me, Montreal has, I think, what it takes to make it to that level. They've just got those certain players. Mihailovic? They've got what's the dude's name up top? I can't remember his name
Ramel
now. Ramel Kyoto. They've got those types of players that can turn it on at any moment. Right. So I could see them sliding up. But I could also see Columbus finding that form.
Out of those three, I think Columbus has probably the best chance to make it. Miguel Berry, who was just on the show, scored in a win, got an assist in another win. So they're probably in the best run of form to make it in. Obviously, if maybe Red Bull or Atlanta drop some points, but there is a possibility there.
Who do you think causes the most damage if they get in? Who do you think could go the furthest?
Oh, out of those three?
Out of those three. DC, Columbus, or Montreal?
See,
I think Montreal, just for the vibes, Because no one knows what to expect from them.
Okay, let's look at Western Conference real quick. Seattle is in first, but not a lock by any means. Kansas City and Colorado are all fighting for that first place spot in the Western Conference. Right.
That's going to be fun. Exciting. That's going to be super fun to watch.
Portland... after the goal from Dairon Asprilla, the vibes are incredible out there, but still not a lock to host a playoff game. But let's look at the teams that are on the outside right now, which is RSL and LAFC. The LA Galaxy are hanging on by a thread in seventh place. They needed a win in their last game. There's a goal from Chicharito, a terrible a penalty from Fisher that pretty much gave up those 2 points. But LAFC or RSL, who do you think has the possibility to sneak into the playoffs and upset one of those three teams that are currently in playoff position?
I want to say RSL because they've got Okuano on there, Michael Chang. Uh-huh. But LAFC, I think they've got that player named Chicho. I think they should just go all the way and put Chicharito on the back of his kit. You know what I mean? Just really annoy Galaxy fans. Just if they did that, they'd already be in the playoffs.
Chicharito.
Yo, Arango. I'm telling you, it would be wild.
It's interesting, though, because Chicho Arango, his first name is Christian. And so I didn't know Chicho was maybe a nickname of Christian. I don't know if that's the connection, but I should go by Chicho Polanco as well.
Charlie could be Chaz. You're now Chicho Polanco.
Why not? He's having sounds a great like a year bug, so
doesn't it? Say, like in Caribbean Spanish, it sounds like it's mira un chicho acá dentro. Like, oh my god, get out!
So, look, decision day is going to be tremendous, man. There's a lot of really huge playoff implications for these games, and this is the when the MLS playoffs are about to ramp up and get really really exciting. So, tune in, this
guys, Vancouver might be in the playoffs.
Bro, what a turnaround.
Think about that. You forgot they were in the league. And they're potentially in the playoffs. This could be huge.
All right, everybody. We got another unboxing. So let's do this. Also,
let's go.
A reminder, after this, Lynn Williams and Sam Mewis of the U.S. Women's National Team will be joining us to talk about their new podcast. But let's get to this box, which right on here
has instructions on it. I don't know if you could see that. It says do not open until November 4th.
Right. It is now November 4th.
We don't follow any rules, so I can't believe we actually waited. I'm going to be very careful opening this because it looks like it's kind of stuffed. Okay. And I don't want whatever's in here to break.
I see where it's from.
Yeah, so there's no, it's not coming from a team, but it is coming from the New England Patriots. Wow.
It's interesting because we just mentioned this very briefly a second ago about the New England Revolution logo. And holy smokes, the new logo is on this box. Let's see.
Now this is beautifully done. Wow.
Proudly not another FC. Whoa.
Wow.
The Revs and the new logo. Look, and it even has the seal, the pressed clay seal.
This is ridiculous. Look at that. I mean, they took their time. United by defiance.
Wow.
First of all, smells incredible. Can I give them props for that? Welcome to New England. Before you make yourself at home, here's some things you should know. We don't get pushed around ever. Revolution is in our blood. Revolution is our pounding heart. As we outrun and outthink those who stand against us. You know what's funny? If they did this any other year, I'd be roasting them, but they're the best like, team ever.
Where are you getting this false confidence from, you know?
So, like, low-key, also, it says, scan here to begin your journey. So I'm just going to put this in the camera. Go ahead and scan that right off the TV, folks.
Who knows what it is? I don't know.
Do you want to check what that is?
I'll check later. I mean, we got it. Okay, we have a T-shirt.
Beautiful t-shirts. Hat.
There's a hat in here. I got mine is gray.
Okay. Oh, dude, I might swap with you.
Look at this.
Wait, you got a flat brim?
I look like an 8-year-old wearing his dad's hat. Look at this.
If I wore this in certain neighborhoods, they would be like, what's it say on the front, sir? Share your swag. Please wear your gear or display prominently. Oh, wait. Actually, we probably shouldn't read that part. That's telling us what to do for the social media. Oh, this is really... Yeah, first of all, you could see the discrepancy in the size of our heads. Look how big the hat naturally fits on yours. And I can't get mine below construction worker who wants the day off.
Okay. Shout, thank you, New England Revolution. Congratulations. Obviously, you know, the logo is you know, obviously it's been with the club for a long time, but it's time for a rebranding, something new. Who knows if this ends up leading to more success, maybe a stadium, or maybe a new stadium for the Revs. A lot of exciting things. And obviously, incredible Supporter Shield winning season, record-breaking season. You know, look, we wish you all the success in the world unless you're playing
NYCFC, you know baby.
Is. You know how it is here, okay? But thank you so much. Again, New England Revolution, probably not another FC. Congrats on the new logo, everybody. So, all right, coming up next, we have Sam Mewis and Lynn Williams of the Snacks Podcast. And also, you know, they've won NWSL championships, World Cups, you know, Olympic medalists. They got a long resume. So
Sam's right from back. New England. Maybe we should give her the hat. Hey, thanks so much for listening to this podcast episode. We just want to break in with a word from one of our sponsors. Actually, it's us, and it's our Twitch channel.
That's right. You know, you've seen us on Fubo TV. You've listened to us on the podcast. Maybe you've clicked like on one of our personal seductive photos on Instagram.
Okay? You know how we love those fatty pics.
Okay. We know the game, all right? We're not going to...
Anything for likes and views, baby.
Yo, that's what you got to do nowadays. But we're also on Twitch. We live stream every Tuesday at 6 p.m. Eastern time for Prem Show. But we do other stuff as well. We do watch-alongs. We interview people. We play FIFA. And we're going to be doing a lot more stuff on there. So join us on Twitch. Hit the follow button. It is free.
That's right. So just go to twitch.tv/soccercooligans or make it easy for yourself and just go to eltwitche.com. That's eltwitche.com. And that'll bring you right to our account. And hit that follow button right now. What you waiting for? All right, Christian, our guests, multiple guests, are finally here.
Look at this. It's a party today.
Think about the level of athletic excellence that is normally on the show, and then you just increase it by so many million times more. I mean, this is incredible.
It's really an honor to be amongst our peers. Okay?
Finally, you know, just someone on our level we could talk to, you know, about our experiences. No, this is insane. We've got the second leading scorer in NWSL history, multiple trophies in NWSL and women's national team. National team stalwarts. I mean, these are legends, The fear.
The resume. The fear. It's continuing to grow.
And the players of other countries are watching this and already getting PTSD of seeing both of these players just pass them left and right. You know what I mean? Like, isn't it my job to stop one of these? You know, that's exactly what's happening. Ladies and gentlemen, they're also, by the way, now incredible podcasters. So could you leave a little meat on the bone for us, ladies? Put your hands together for the two, the only, Lynn Williams and Sam Mewis, everybody.
Hello. How are you doing, Lynn and Sam?
Hi, we are good. Thank you guys so much for having us. What an intro.
Ah,
I know,
come
that's
on.
That's amazing.
act like y'all don't deserve it. Stop it.
Okay. Yeah. You strike fear in the hearts of defenders and now you're getting into the podcasting game and we'll talk about it in a moment because now look we're
Christian
in direct
and I are doing two a days. We realize we need to keep up. You feel me?
But let's begin with obviously North Carolina Courage in the playoffs. A playoff game coming up this weekend. Sam, I know you are still dealing with an injury, and it's unfortunate that you haven't been playing and won't be able to play in this upcoming game. But what's the feeling like going into this playoff game for the Courage?
Oh, we're excited. We needed things to go our way, and bless the Washington spirit for beating Houston Dash. And we squeaked right in there. But it's amazing. I think that the vibe around the team is just excited to get into playoffs. We were watching the game at the airport and everybody was jumping up and down when we realized we were in. So everybody's excited.
What do you do? Do you text Trinity Raman, by the way, friend of the show? Do you text Trinity? Great goal. Thank you very much. Here's a gift card to Starbucks. What do you do?
I should have. I absolutely should have. I should bring her a gift because we get to go play them.
Okay. Yeah.
Why don't you give her the gift of scoring on her like you
exactly.
do everybody else?
Exactly. Exactly. I say thank you so much and you're welcome.
And Sam, from your perspective, it's obviously your sister's on the dash. What is the, you're obviously happy, but it comes at a cost, right?
Well, yeah. I mean, I guess obviously I always root for Christy, except when the Courage is involved. I got Courage in my blood. So I was 100% rooting for the Courage to go through to playoffs. And I'm just really proud of the team. It's obviously been a crazy year and I haven't been there nearly as much as I would have hoped or liked. But I'm so proud of the girls. And I think it's just like a sign of everybody's character and dedication to the team that we're here now. So go Courage.
You guys play so much. Especially just being, attached to the women's national team with all the different competitions that there are. Are you enjoying the break or are you one of these like uber competitive people who are like, get this cast off me, I'll be fine. Like where are you at?
Yeah, I think right after the Olympics, I think everybody kind of needed like I don't know, maybe 2 weeks to just be like, okay, I need to breathe and like take a walk outside and have a home cooked meal. So I feel like for a couple weeks I was like, okay, I'm kind of like exhaling and taking this in and enjoying this time to like reflect and take a little bit of a rest. And then like literally 2 weeks in, I was like, oh my God, I hate this so much. Like it's, I miss the team. I think it's, I mean, it's tough. I like love being around the team so much, both teams. And so kind of it's, I'm home with my husband and my dog. So like on the one hand, it's wonderful, but there is this part of me that's like, I just need to get back with the team and get back to playing. I miss it so much. And I just love soccer. So it, being injured is like really a difficult time.
Yeah. All right. And the and you mentioned the Olympics. Obviously, it was a difficult time for the women's national team, for fans, you know, waking up at 5:40 in the morning on the East Coast and watching these games. But can you talk a little bit about like the emotional toll? Obviously, being the COVID restrictions, it not being kind of like the normal Olympics. What was the feeling like when you guys got back, when you got bronze and you know, just that kind of final experience, even with like a player like Carly Lloyd and stuff like that?
Well, I think that's a loaded question.
There's a lot packed in there.
Yeah. I think that, you know, with the Olympics, it was hard. I don't think it was the Olympics of anybody's dreams. The fact that we didn't win gold, but also the fan situation. We were restricted. We couldn't really go outside. So having like to be pent up in a hotel. And, you know, we would like linger around at the field afterwards because we just wanted to be outside. And then you go on, you don't win gold, but we got bronze. And so I think there was something to be super proud of that. You know, in a bronze medal match, it's a little bit different than like a gold medal match, where in the gold medal, you know, you're winning a medal, whereas in the bronze, you can go home right with nothing. So, I think the team definitely rallied around that and, was like, we're getting a medal and we're going to end on a win and we're going to end on a high note. But take it away, Sam. There was a lot of ups and downs during that.
Yeah, there was a lot of ups and downs for sure. And I think obviously lots to be learned from the whole experience. And I think the team definitely learned a lot and will come out stronger and have a lot of important lessons to take away from it. But yeah, like Lynn said, I think we always want to win gold. We always want to get first. We're American. And I think, yeah, we just have our sights set on what's next, I think, to hopefully build and grow and try to like win.
I need y'all to do me a favor and just take off the I'm gonna be respectful of the opponent hat real quick. And I need y'all to talk y'all shit because
that hat is like glued to my head. Yeah, the hat never comes like
super glued.
Yeah,
the media like training is strong here. But yeah, think about the level of excellence that you guys have achieved, that coming home with a medal in the Olympics was considered doomsday because the color wasn't gold. How insane is that? And what type of pressure? I mean, we're both stand-up comics. Imagine one of our jokes didn't hit. I'd be like, well, we still had a good set. If we got off and people were like, so is this over for your career? We're like, what? Should your manager be fired? They're like, what? I mean, what is that? How does that, does that help? Does that hurt? How do you feel about that?
Well, I think that just says a lot about the team. I think the team has such a history of success and of winning and coming in first that that is the expectation. And I think it's one of the most special parts of the team that we have this standard for ourselves that's really high. We know the rest of the world holds us to that standard and we want to be the best. That's what we go for every day. So I actually kind of like it. I think that it wouldn't be the U.S. Women's National Team without that kind of expectation and high standard.
Yeah, right, I agree. Right. I just think that there's so much competition within the U.S. too that, you know, you're a team, but until you like a roster is named, you're fighting for your spot every step of the way. So that just keeps the competition going and it makes you be like the best that you can possibly be. And so then when you go into tournaments, like you expect to be the best, you, because of everything in the past, like you expect to win. But it's a good reminder that like the past isn't now, like you have to still perform. Like the past doesn't really matter in those moments. But I like it. I like the pressure. I think that's what makes us the U.S.
This is why we should do a Women's World Cup Super League where you guys are just in it all the time. You know what I mean? You don't have to qualify.
Exactly.
But it makes the women's, the U.S. women's national team such a unique team, in the sense that that level of pressure, I would almost say is unlike any other team in the world, men or women. The that expectation to win is, you know, coming back with a bronze, the media is like, is you know, kind of like what Alexis was saying about, you know, is it all over? Is this the end? You know, it is just, it goes from, you know, since the expectation is to win, a loss feels like an absolute tragedy. So, and it's,
you're
such
telling
a,
us. Yeah. Right?
Yeah. Did you guys get a sense of that when you were out there?
That it was a,
like, you know, like the media.
Yeah, the media was like sort of reacting to the first loss like it was like a massive big deal.
I mean, I'm sure it was. I think a lot of people, and if you're smart, you just turn off your phone or you like delete your social media. But right. I mean, we could all assume that that's what was happening.
Okay. You know, and given obviously that level of pressure, you know, you guys bring that to your NWSL club as well. And you know, it was interesting because when the Courage won NWSL championship, the last one you guys won, we were there. We were on the field. I actually took photos of both of you.
Yeah. We stole some awesome of the gold confetti.
Guys, we were celebrating. Just, it was an honor for us to be there. We couldn't even believe that we were
there. Did
you put
it in a shrine?
Yeah. The gold confetti is next to my most exclusive Dunk Lows, which Lynn, you and I have in common.
Which ones?
Huh?
Alexis.
I'm not going to say I have the Ben & Jerry's, but maybe they're over there.
Okay, jealous. Look, all right. This is going to be the Stock X podcast. But obviously, when it comes to this playoff opportunity and this run, where do you feel the Courage are to, you know, get a chance to win another title?
You know, I think this year looks a little bit different than the years in the past, but a couple of us have been saying this, like I'm getting 2016 vibes, where we just squeaked right in there, and I hope that continues to happen. In 2016, we obviously squeaked in and then won the whole thing. Mm-hmm. I think that the Courage is a different team when it comes playoff time, because it's just do or die and you turn into like, you just see red and go crazy. But, you know, I think Washington, they're a good team. I think they're young and we've matched up well against them in the past. So we just got to take it one game at a time. And I hope everybody is just rearing to go. So I don't know. I have no idea.
I mean, the only other thing I would add to that, like, would it mean something a little bit different given this year has been? And obviously it's been challenging not only for the Courage, but for the NWSL in its entirety. But is that sort of feeling, you know, or is that thought going into, you know, a part of it or a factor when thinking about these playoffs?
I think that it's like an unspoken thing right now. I think it would be a really cool story, a really cool turn of events for our team. You know, the past, I would say, month has actually been really hard, emotionally, physically, mentally. And so for us to get into playoffs is one thing. And I think it would mean a lot if we could go far. But, you know, I say this every day since the news broke, that anytime we're out on the field, it's a win. So getting into the playoffs was a bonus, and we'll just see what happens.
Oh, and Sam, I mean, how long do the playoffs have to go before you think you might be able to get back in there? You know?
Yeah, I know. I wish that I was that close. I really do. It's been really tough being away from the team. But again, like I said earlier, I'm just so proud of them. And I was going to add, everybody always used to make fun of us for like us thinking we were underdogs. And now it's like, okay, well, we'll see if we still have it. And I feel like we might.
That's dope.
I mean, we were at that game and you know, it was 4-0. It was a pretty,
yeah, we were like, does North Carolina, are they, is North Carolina allowed to play with 14 players? How is this happening?
Let's talk about snacks. Let's talk about the podcast.
You guys have no idea how much of a shock that sentence is, because Christian doesn't like food. So hearing the phrase, let's talk about snacks, it's embarrassing. Right.
It is, you know, I want to talk about snacks, not eat them. Anyway.
Just like Roosevelt.
Just like Roosevelt.
But yeah, nothing like us.
Rose got so mad at me when I told her chili on pasta was trash. It's a Cincinnati thing.
She stands by skyline.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, what?
But,
It's imagine if somebody ate chili and then vomited on a bowl of pasta.
Ew.
That's what they eat in Cincinnati. And they think it's great. It's horrific.
This is an ongoing thing. If people in Cincinnati love Skyline Chili. Everybody outside of it.
I don't think they do. I just think they respect it because it's the only thing they have. But anyway, go ahead.
He's trying to get banned from Cincinnati.
Yeah.
I mean, that might be a gift. Are you kidding me? I'm from North.
You guys started a podcast. Just Women's Sports. Can you talk a little bit about why you guys got into this, into the game, and talk a little bit about Just Women's Sports, because obviously there's a lot of athletes involved, and you know, the sense I get it is really about the athlete kind of taking over, you know, probably their media image and how they're spoken about, and really get to use their own voices. So yeah, tell us a little bit about Snacks.
Sam, go. You go first.
Okay. Well, yeah, we are really excited to be working with Just Women's Sports. It's like obviously an incredible platform for female athletes. And I think just kind of providing that place, that one-stop shop for all women's sports. It's they show highlights, they tell stories, and they give us a platform to tell our own stories, to interview our teammates. So when Haley Rosen first reached out about possibly doing something like this, I was really excited. I was excited at the possibility of being able to do it with somebody like Lynn and to be able to make the show whatever we felt like it was important to talk about. So we always say it's a little bit of personal stuff, a little bit of fun stuff, a little bit of real stuff, and a little bit of soccer stuff. I said that out of order and it sounded crazy when I said it.
You gotta hit the talking points.
Yeah. I know.
We're new, okay? We're new.
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah. Anyway, every episode we try to talk about something that's like not just fun, but maybe a little bit more difficult to talk about. And I think that that's been really one of our kind of like founding elements of the show, where we have just found it's really important, we think, for us to talk about those things publicly, even when it isn't necessarily like easy. And then we've gotten to have some of our like good friends on. We actually had our partners on as well, which was a hilarious episode in season one. And it's been great. Just Women's Sports has been an awesome partner in it. And obviously I'm honored to be doing it with Lynn, who is one of my best friends ever and a great co-host. How was that?
So
a little
sweet.
Over
that was
the place?
So sweet. I
Lynn
liked it.
Confused there for a second. You're like, I'm your best friend.
It was good. Mitch,
I just wanted to know what she was going to say. Yeah. I was excited.
Did you guys have to be pitched on the idea, or you guys already kind of wanted to put together a podcast?
No, we had to be pitched. Definitely. Yeah. I think that, you know, when Just When Sports first came to us, it was during like a crazy time. So we were interested, but we were like, I don't necessarily know if I want to like open myself up just yet. And then with everything that happened in 2020 with George Floyd and, all the craziness of last year, me and Sam, we were roommates during that time and we spent all quarantine together, us and Pat and Finn. and it was wild, but me and Sam had been roommates for 4 years and we like late at night would just like talk, we'd eat snacks or have dinner or whatever. And we would just like have good conversations. And then in 2020, our conversations obviously shifted to more serious. But it was never a like hard conversation to have because we were so comfortable with each other. And so I think that when we were pitched the podcast, we turned a corner. We were saying, okay, I think people can see us and say, we need to have these hard conversations. These are two people that don't look alike that are having the conversations and doing it hopefully in a positive way. And then on top of that, we just wanted to have some soccer fun, talk to our friends, get to know them a little bit more. And it's been awesome. And I'm happy that like Just Women's Sports has given us that platform.
Where did the name come from? Because Christian and I were going to call this instead of Cooligans, we were going to call it Snacks, but it had nothing to do with food. We just thought of ourselves as Snacks.
Okay.
I think we were brainstorming around a name for a while. And I think Snacks was like both obviously the food element and then just that it was like these little tidbits of like fun and just a cute, and then whoever came up with the half soccer ball, half orange peel, I was like, I mean, this is perfect.
Genius.
Yeah, yeah, the merch is fire, by the way.
Yeah, I mean, so good. Your logo is a you know, an orange slice and a soccer ball. Ours is a pizza slice and a soccer ball.
Is it so, really?
Yeah, half a pizza and a soccer. You should have pretended like you've looked it up before. It's half a pizza. So she's like, "Who are you guys again?"
Now that you mention that, they did tell us on the brief for this that you were going to ask us about pizza, and I was like, "Oh, well, good. Like, I'm a pizza girl."
She's a pizza head.
Yeah.
All right. And you're from the Boston area, so are you more Reggio or are you more Santarpios?
What was the first one you said?
Are you more Santarpios or is it Regina or Reggio? I can't remember the name of the one in the north.
Yeah, Pizzeria Regina, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't discriminate against pizza. I love mostly like all pizzas, but I'm from the South Shore.
This is where you and I disagree here, because I am very much a pizza snob.
Oh, yeah. Interesting.
Alexis has a lot of pizza prejudice.
Yeah,
we might have to get into that, but I'm from the South Shore. We have a thing called bar pizza, and like, I don't think it's very well known anywhere else, but it's these like 10-inch pizzas that basically it's like a personal pizza, but they're like crispy around the edges. And I live in, like, I don't live on the South Shore anymore, but we just found a place near where I live that does bar pizzas, and they're so good. It's called Landmark. So I'm like fired up.
It was, it started out as Staten Island style. And then when the bridge was built for New Jersey, it became known as New Jersey bar pies, but it was invented in Staten Island. And it was a way of rolling out the dough. So it was super thin and baking it in a pan, especially because they're super popular in spinning ovens, which are originally used for bagels. I could get into the whole thing.
Yeah, it sounds like he's the original pizza head over
what
here.
What we need right now is just is a Lynn Williams cam while Alexis talks about pizza. Can, because
by the way, for the editor, just show Lynn's face as I'm talking. Put me in picture, because it's a little bit of fear.
Oh, no.
It's a little bit of confusion.
Slow-mo replay reaction cam from Lynn Williams.
In slow-mo.
That is like my worst quality. It's my worst quality is I can't hide anything on my face.
No, you can't. I'm looking up you guys' logo. I need to see it.
You've got an incredible, absolutely no poker face is what I'm going to call it, Lynn. But one of my favorite things about the pod is the more relaxed Sam gets, the more dialed up that New England accent gets.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. You should hear her when she's like with her family and with Pat. It's like it's... I'm like, yeah,
I found it.
Worse.
Lynn, look, yeah, it's a soccer ball with pizza on the bottom.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, a crust, if you will.
Yeah, I love cut that. This out so that it looks like we're popular.
I love that.
we should have a snack and a meal together.
Oh, now we're talking. What's pizza, Christian going to do?
Pizza could be a snack or a meal.
It's both.
Okay, this time, finally, we're getting to the real subjects on this show.
Finally, what this show was built for, we're finally doing. We've got our own supporters group called Gully Squad.
We have questions from fans that I want to make sure we get to. This is called the Gully Squad, our supporters group. You know, you guys have the American Outlaws. We have the Gully Squad. And they have a bunch of questions for you, a lot of big fans of both of you. The first one, I thought we would get to this before, but I want to make sure I get to Lure McCoy, who happens to be an Orlando Pride fan. She asked a question. She said,
I don't know. Did it for you guys.
Thanks.
For Lynn and Sam, what are your favorite off-season snacks? And we also should ask, what are your favorite in-season snacks as well? Who wants to go first?
They're the same.
Oh, okay.
But I love chips, all kinds of chips, chocolate chips, potato chips. I don't know any other kind of chip.
Baguettes, which are diamond chips.
All the chips. I cannot live without them. But I do go to Australia usually every off season, and this isn't really a snack, but their barbecue sauce, for some reason, is so good, and I like dream about it when I'm on my way. I'm like, I can't wait to have barbecue sauce.
Everyone listening in North Carolina just screeched their car to a halt that you complimented Australian barbecue.
Sorry.
same for you, Sam.
I'm a chip girl as well. I don't really discriminate against food either. I'm kind of just like a vacuum. Like, I'll just, if it's there.
Oh, we would be best friends.
Yeah. Aren't we?
Yeah. Except you guys work out, so you don't look like me, which is a good thing, I guess. This is my favorite. This is from Nick Sint. He said, is the food better in North Carolina or in Manchester? I believe we know the answer to that. But for both, favorite place to eat in the Raleigh or North Carolina area? Do you have like a go-to spot?
Well, yeah, we always go to Jubala for coffee and like breakfast sandwiches. They have like good food there.
And Sola.
Okay.
Bar Taco is not only in Raleigh, but we love Bar Taco.
Where
Trophy
just...
Pizza.
Trophy Pizza.
Go-to pizza place. Yep. So yeah, the food in Raleigh is good.
Yeah, no, North Carolina is a great food area.
Barcelona Bar, we've gone to a couple times. Now that I'm thinking, I don't think we get out much.
Not much, no. Definitely not much.
You guys named four places, then started to sweat. You're like, does Bojangles count on the way home?
Wait, were you insinuating though that the food in Manchester wasn't good?
That's, I think, what everyone has been insinuating, including myself. I've been to England a bunch. I love England, but cuisine-wise, they're a little bit far behind us.
I know what you mean, but I feel like in where I lived, the food was actually like really good.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
All right. Well, then we're gonna need a list.
Where you lived, Pat was making it for you?
Well, Pat, yes. My husband is a cook, so yeah, he cooked for me. But we would go to Rudy's Pizza. We'd go to Trove for like sandwiches. Go to Federal, Tack. Like, the food was, like, bomb. Like, really good.
I'm going to need a list because Christian and I will be there in a couple weeks. Yeah.
I can give you a list for sure.
Okay.
Nice.
Well, all right. That is it from the question from God's Court. amazing, guys. Thank you so much for doing that. We have a couple pieces of business before we wrap up. We have to get to our Galasso gift. This is your opportunity to celebrate a goal on our TV show, which will then become a gift that will live on the internet forever. God. Alexis will give you a scenario, and then we just need you to celebrate that goal on screen. Alexis, what do you think?
All right. So for some reason, they've said both of you are on the pitch at the same time. And it's a let's say it's a free kick. It goes awry. But Sam, you head it. Lynn scores. But they said just before this happened, if you guys had gotten an assist and a goal, then Lynn, you would get anything you wanted off the sneakers app. And Sam, you'd be able to take your dog, which looks exactly like Christian's dog, every away trip you ever go. If you both got an assist and a goal, and you did, so how would you celebrate getting exclusive access to every sneaker in the sneakers app and bringing your dog everywhere?
Yeah, what's the celebration?
Did you get both of them?
Yeah. Yes.
Right.
Amazing. We saw your freeze frame, and we saw your headshot. Both of them.
Well, that really worked to get me fired up because I was like, "Oh my god, I can take Finn wherever I want." I was actually really happy.
Awesome.
All the shoes.
Okay.
Yes. Which, by the way, all I do is take L's on this damn sneakers app.
Before we wrap up, we have to do we got to get plugs. So, is there anything, Lena? Sam, do you want to plug anything before we let you go?
I think
your name is not Lynn. Your name is Lynn. My name is Lynn.
He said Lynn and Sam. Did you know it?
Yeah, I did.
Oh, I didn't hear the Sam part. Go ahead.
No,
you were ready. No, you were really ready. Go.
No,
go. I'm so sorry. Don't be like this. Come on.
Well, okay. I think we just want to plug our own podcast called Snacks. You can, you can find it wherever you get your podcast on iTunes, Apple, or Spotify.
I'm Lynn Williams.
And I'm Sam.
Okay. I'm glad we got the ending of the podcast.
That was a horrible plug.
No. Great outro.
I'll clean it up. Okay. Obviously, follow both of them on social media, Instagram and Twitter. And also, watch the North Carolina Courage this weekend. Take on the spirit. November 7th, 5:30 p.m. Eastern time. NWSL playoffs are kicking off this weekend, so make sure you tune in. All right. I want to do one thing before we wrap up. Maybe if we have enough time, I don't know if Sam, you'll be able to do this, but I'll be right back.
Okay. Oh, is he getting his
dog? Sure. You guys have a call in 3 minutes, but why not? Let's go.
Do you think he's getting his dog? Because I'll go get my dog.
I think that's what he is. There he goes.
Oh my god. They're twins.
This is everybody. Okay, let's get them both on screen if we can.
Here's my dog. No, I don't have any.
I was going to say.
Okay, everyone, let's wait till...
I want no responsibilities in my life, Lynn, so I've got zero pets.
His name
It's his name.
Is Nutmeg.
Oh, hi,
This is Nutmeg.
Wait. Oh my God. I'm having deja vu. I knew that. How did I know that? I feel like
they look like they were separated at birth.
Oh my God.
It's crazy, right?
Can they bark for each other? Come on,
Lynn. Can you say hi, Auntie Lynn?
Yeah.
Hi, my Auntie Lynn. Is he a Cavapoo?
No, he is a golden doodle.
Golden doodle.
Yeah.
Why How are much some of them
weigh? Yeah.
We have to say goodbye, by the way.
Wait, so, why are some of them have like poos and why are some of them doodles?
Okay, first of all, okay, Cavapoo sounds like something a child says when they poop their pants.
No. Okay, we'll sort it out offline, then I'll answer the question. Everybody, thank you so much for tuning in. Make sure you follow at Soccer Cooligans on all social channels. Follow at Football Sports and subscribe to the YouTube for Fubo Sports, so you can get the full interview, a lot of other episodes and stuff like that. So thank you, everybody, for tuning in. Finn and Nutmeg are very, very excited.
Yes.
So let us end the show the way we normally do, as is tradition. So for Sam Mewis and Lynn Williams, my name is Christian Polanco.
And for Finn and Nutmeg, my name is Alexis Guerreros.
And together, what are we?
The Hooligans!
Perfect.
Oh my God, I'm dying at the
You're literally crying. She's crying again.
She's actually crying.
Yeah. She does it a lot. Just ignore her. Okay.
Are we saying the second part in unison?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. Hey, this is Lynn Williams.
And this is Sam Mewis. And we just kicked it with the coolest.
Sorry. Take two. I'm sorry. I got flustered. Okay. We're just going to power through even if we're not added. We're not. Okay.
Good.
Perfect.
Hey, this is Lynn Williams.
And this is Sam Mewis,
and we just kicked it with the Gooligans.
Love it.
Is that fine? Is that fine?